Ooh, breathing. Amen. Amen, amen. Like I said, so good to be here. I mean, I don't know about you guys that have jobs, but this is a much nicer environment than where I work, and probably where you work too. And my goodness, home with three females, guys got to fight. Every chance I get, leave the toilet seat up, be a man. No, absolutely. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Go ahead and find your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. I love the book of Romans. I love just the deep truth that you find when reading the book of Romans. I love to put it carnally, I love the audacity the Bible seems to have to draw a line in the sand and tell me where I stand. I love it. I love the truth, and I love how it shows me where I am in comparison to truth. Because oftentimes, as humans, we sugarcoat things. Absolutely we do. We gloss over blemishes and problems, and we make light of situations just to kind of put ourselves in a good light and save some face. But when you compare yourself to the book, to the truth, a lot of ugly can be happening on our side. And I love it when God shows me the truth and shows me where I stand and what I can do to correct it. So, Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the prophets, to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministerings, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We all have a part. We all have a job. We're all unique. Thank the Lord there's not two of me or three of me. Thank goodness God was up there in heaven, not just copy-paste. We'd have to get rid of a few of us if we're all the same. I'm thankful for the diversity that every local church has. It's unique. It's perfect in God's view. And I want to talk about reasonable service as a child of God. Our reasonable service as a member of this local body. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the chance to come before you, Lord, and to be able to worship and praise you. God, help us all, Lord, that we just put aside our worries and our struggles and focus in on your word tonight. God, bless the word and bless the preaching. We ask all in your name. Amen. Be seated. Reasonable service. The basics of Christianity, some would call it. There's basic requirements for every job. There's basic requirements for everything in life. The requirement to cook is basic. Learn how to use seasoning. Don't burn the house down. That's about it. The requirements for simple cooking in this modern age can be using a microwave. Dinner served, thanks to Stouffer's. The requirements for life, they're relatively easy. Get a license. Don't hit other folks. Be courteous. Be kind. Don't be a moron. Basic stuff. The requirements to work a job. Show up on time. Do your best. Yet how often are some of the easiest things the hardest to do? How often are some of the easiest requirements the most difficult to do? Well, in life we have basic requirements. And in ministry, we have basic requirements. And in this portion of the Word of God, it's put in the light as reasonable service. A reasonable service. Not something that you owe out of debt, but something you do because of what was done to you. I have a mortgage. I pay that mortgage because the bank's never getting my house, regardless of their ideas. I have a mortgage because I have a mortgage and I pay it because I promised I would pay it off. Therefore, I shall. Doesn't matter what it takes. I made a promise. I'm going to fulfill it. I have a car and I promised by driving that vehicle and holding that license, I'm not going to drive on the wrong side of 191. I'm not Josiah's, Josiah's face. I promised that those DPS workers that didn't care who I was, I promised them by signing a paper that I would not purposely disobey laws. I promised the society that I wouldn't be a menace. You make promises without even knowing. Kids, you promised your parents not to drive them crazy. You weren't there when you signed the contract. It was right after you were born, but they have it documented. Trust me. Just ask them about it. Reasonable service. There are certain things we do because of a debt we owe. And that's a debt we got ourselves into. But that is not what we're talking about here. When talking about Christian reasonable service, we do it out of a debt that we could never have paid that was paid for us. And we'll get into that down the road. So tonight I want to talk about our service as the Southwest body of Christ. Not the region, Southwest Baptist Church. We are a unique set apart body. We are autonomous. We have an under shepherd. We have people in this church that create the body of Christ for Southwest Baptist Church. And as such, we all have a role to play. We all have a job to play. As it says here and in other portions of scripture, we all have been given different gifts, different abilities. We're not a copy paste. We're not all on the same level and one day we'll just graduate. It's not how it goes. When the moment you became saved, you were renewed. You were once dead in your trespasses and sins, but you were made alive again. Renewed. You were brought back to spiritual life, but through salvation, and you were then, whether God led you here, or you were born here and you just arrived here through your parents. Either which way, at some point in your life, you joined Southwest Baptist Church. You moved to Midland, Texas. You chose to be here because God would have you to be here, and you're here for a purpose. It's not an accident. It's not happenstance. It's not fate. It is God's divine plan for our individual lives. As one of my college professors said, wherever you are, be all there. What he meant was, don't be sitting in class, your mind's somewhere else. You're paying to be here, he said. Either that or your parents are. Either which way, someone's paying for you to be here. When you sit in this classroom, you be here mentally, physically, everything. His point transfers in my life to ministry. I can't honestly I can't honestly ever say that there wasn't ever a time where I did a job half-minded. There are times I'm at work, but my mind's still at home. There's times that I'm here and I have to fight to be here because the devil like nothing better for us to be sitting in the pew with empty husks. But I've learned that throughout life, wherever I am, to be all there and pay attention because you're there for a purpose. So, welcome to the body of Christ. Whether you knew it or not, you're here for a reason. It's not happenstance. It wasn't by chance. And we are given different gifts for the purpose of the body's growth and for the purpose of the body's edification and to show forth Christ. Okay? Let's go back and read here. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. after salvation. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Who here is right-handed? You have a dominant hand. Who here is left-handed? You're weird. No, you have a dominant hand. Who here is ambidextrous? Meaning you can use both hands accordingly. Good. Can't stand people like that because they're better than me. But we're all given different members. No one here has two left arms, right? No one here has two left feet unless you're dancing, which you shouldn't. Nobody here has three eyeballs. Mothers are included because they have all-knowing power. But no one here has extra limbs. No one here has unique abilities. We're all pretty much normal, as normal can be. The light of the gospel attracts strange bugs, but as normal as can be, we're all here. And every man is given different members. And they don't have the same office. My left leg, no matter how much I train it, will never be as good as my right arm. I've seen folks who have lived with disabilities, learn how to drive with their feet, and that's super impressive. I couldn't last a day doing that. I would make a mistake and thought, there I go. I'm very much reliant upon my hands. I like them. They do really cool things. I really enjoy the ability to move both arms independently. But I need all of my members to make me function. They have to all be there. I would be horrified to wake up and not be able to move my legs. That would be a scary moment. I think everyone would be that same way. I'd be very much worried if I woke up and couldn't see. I'd miss my eyesight very much. I'd take for granted a lot of my functions. We all do. But you know, just like you would miss a function of your body whenever the whole body of Christ isn't together, someone's missed. Something is missing. And it hinders full ability. And it hinders full capacity. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we individuals, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We all have different abilities, different gifts. My gifts aren't the same as my wife's. We have different spiritual gifts, different talents. She's way more talented than I am. If I had to play a piano, I'd use that one because it's pre-programmed. I can't play piano. There are certain things that y'all can do that I can only dream of. Talents. We're all different. What's the point? We all need to be here for the body to function. This is not a plug for the workday. Promise. But we all need to be here for the body to function at full capacity. This church is blessed to have good people. This church is blessed to have good Christians. And it's blessed to have a good pastor. We all need to be here for the body to function. Here's where everything kind of shifts. Because there's three verses before this passage that really give emphasis on what Paul is trying to say. We all need to be here. But it's not about physically being here. It's not about physically being in the pew. As a spiritual body, we are empowered by the Spirit. Notice chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, Paul starts the chapter off by talking about the individual. He talks about us as separate people and how once we are living our lives separately as individuals, and once we are living our lives in the power of God as separate individuals, only then can verse 3 happen, where we become an effective member of the body. So let's talk about reasonable service tonight. There are three different types of Christians that we find in churches nowadays. Three different types. Now, I'm not talking about those that are backslidden. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about those that are just there for their own pride. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about those that are not truly saved. No. Paul is talking to saved and renewed members in Christ. He is talking about those that truly have salvation. This is not about those that are acting or faking it. This is about those that truly have been converted and have a new life in Christ. And then Paul says to them, I beseech thee, I beg thee, therefore, I am begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Why would Paul have to do this? When we're saved, we come to the knowledge that we had need of a Savior. We come to the knowledge that we needed to be rebought, to be renewed, to be purchased back. We all understood that we were lost and going to hell and was in need of Christ's pure, precious blood to pay for our sins that we could never pay for. So we're all saved. So why does Paul have to ask? Why? Three different types of Christians. Number one, sensual. Now, not talking about lustful. We're talking about those that live their Christian life based on their senses, their emotions. These would be Christians that they're truly saved, but they're living their power in a sense-filled mentality. They look something like this. Christians that feel. They feel this way. Now, when you are empowered by feelings, you are also disabled by feelings. For example, it's too hot. We can't go soul winning today. Feelings. It's too cold. We can't go soul winning today. Feelings. I don't think so-and-so likes me. Feelings. I don't like so-and-so. Feelings. It's emotionally driven Christianity. Are they saved? Yes. But they decided to live their Christian life from feeling to feeling to feeling to where they feel truly involved when there is a great spirit in the air and they can feel the Lord and they feel His movement. Everything's just happy, 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 happy. They're mountaintop Christians. But when they're in the valley, oh, brother, just going through a hard time right now, and you know, I'm just falling apart. Okay? They're still good people, but they're living their life and they're in the power of their senses. And when they feel spiritual, then they're spiritual. But when they don't feel spiritual, man, they're just pray for me, brother. It's one of those months, one of those years. I haven't felt the same since 1943. Please pray for me. Okay. You'll see those Christians in churches. Next is me. Stubborn Christians. I battle this daily. There are people that once they are saved, but they live their life in the stubborn determination that I will be a Christian. I will be a Christian. Quit smoking? No problem. Quit drinking? No problem. Why do you quit drinking? Because the Bible said to us, I'm never going to do it again. Now, awesome. I'm going to quit swearing. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to do this and do that. And I will make it happen. I'm guilty of this, so I know this is real. I am guilty that there are times in my life I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to be a Christian because I'm supposed to be, so I'm going to do it. And I stand on that little rock like, ah, I'm saved and I'm a Christian. I'm going to do what I have to do. But I'm doing it in my own power. I'm living my life, my Christian walk, in my own forceful, regimented mentality of do this, God will bless. Do this, God will bless. These first two are known as battery Christians. They live their life one battery at a time. They get just enough of the Holy Spirit to last. For those of you who do work, there's a stark difference between battery operated tools and you plug it in the wall and you have the entire house behind you tools. I love power tools that have a cord because I know as long as there's power in that house, I can do stuff. Now, you might invest in a couple hundred feet of extension cords, but you have power. I recently invested in a bunch of tools that have battery operability. And if I didn't have more than one battery, I would be one frustrated man right now. Because I just swap out batteries, and while the one's charging, I use the next. This one died. Swap it out, and it's just a constant cycle of new battery, new battery, new battery. And it's driving me nuts. And there are some Christians that live that way where they come to God. Lord, I need your power. I need your grace. I need what you have. And thank you, Lord. Live in my own abilities now. I have God. Plug. Now I can do it my way. They go, the first one, the sensual, the feeling Christian, they go to all the Sunday services. They go to all the revivals. They have their favorite screaming preacher who tells them how bad they are. And they say, Lord, you're right. And they repent and they're all there. But they need that constantly to feel like they're spirit filled. And then there's the stubborn ones of us who all we need is the Bible. I have this. I will just show up because I'm supposed to be there. If pastor's cleaning the windows, I'm going to be there. If the door's open, I'm there. And I've lived that life and it's difficult. And we have just enough of the Holy Spirit to convince us that we're doing it. But in the end, we're doing it our way, in our power. And you know what that causes? Burnout. You will one day run out of battery power. Type number three, the Spirit-filled Christian. Or the corded Christian. They have the plug-in ability where they're not relying upon doses of the Holy Spirit. Fun fact, the Spirit's a person, not a dosage. I don't have more of the Holy Spirit than Gerald does and vice versa because he's not a dosage. He's a person. I don't have more of Bethany. I just have more access to Bethany. I don't have more of anything. I just have more access to things than some people do. And as long as I walk with the Holy Spirit, I have access. We all do. The Spirit-filled Christian is the one that lives his life in the power of Christ. First one's power of emotions. Second one's power of just sheer will. Third one's power of the Holy Spirit. Are all three effective? Absolutely. My goodness, you have to have people who are there, right? If you're not careful, you won't care why they're there. I had a bus worker in Oklahoma City. I wasn't the captain. I was just a helper. But he would be there every single week. And I said, why are we here? He goes, well, it's a ministry and we have to do one per semester. And I was like, that's a bad reason to be on bus. He was there because he had to be there in his ministry spot. He chose bus because it gave out candy. Buddy, wrong mentality. I had people in class. Why are you at Bible college? Well, parents said I got to do at least 1 year here. It's a bad place to waste your money if you're not actually here. The Spirit-filled Christian is the one Paul's talking about here. He's beseeching everyone, all of us. I beseech thee, I beg thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. All through the Old Testament, all those sacrifices were living. And then they died to pay for the sin debt. We have the ultimate sacrifice, Christ, who paid and gave his life so that we can go from death unto life. We are no longer dead in our trespasses and sins. We are given life through Christ. We don't have to die for our sins. We don't have to give our lives and, Lord Jesus, here's my life. Take it, Lord. Don't take it and just use me as you will. Great. Only if you understand that it's not your life you're giving up. It's your life you're getting. You don't serve Christ to give up. You serve Christ to get. Now, be very careful. I'm not talking about the Christmas mentality of do good so Santa Claus visits you. He's not real. I'm not talking about the mentality of all I have to do is this, and this, and God will bless. Hopefully I ruined some kids' lives right there. I'm not talking about Christmas Christians who, I've been good all year, what am I going to get? Sack of coal, you hypocrite. This is a sacrifice that you give every day. And it's not dying to please God. It's dying so that you can be used of God. It's dying to self. This living sacrifice, this is a daily choice of you saying, I will not live my life in my own power. I will give up that preference, give up that choice. Well, why in the world do we have to do that? Because God's not going to force you. God's not going to force you to be Spirit-filled. God's not going to force you to grow. God is a perfect, holy, heavenly Father who will not force you into any unwilling activities. No, He will bless you. He will save you. He will keep you secure. But unless you want to serve Him, He will never force you. He will never make you be holy. He will never make you be spiritual. He will never force His will upon you. He will simply offer you the best life you could ever live. Oh, the easy life? No. My friend, it's not easy. For those you've been saved a while, there's no easy road. It's not easy street like Annie would have you believe, the musical. There's no easy way. It's not all puppy dogs and rainbows and, or in my case, shotgun shells and smoked brisket. It's not all a beautiful pathway. No, it's difficult. The book of James talks all about it. Trials, temptations, difficulties, pitfalls. Things who are literally there to tear you to pieces if given the chance. The Christian life makes you a target. As a child of God, you're a target. Congratulations. As a child of the Heavenly Father, you are a target for Satan. But God offers you that if you will just simply submit yourself unto Him as a sacrifice, give your own will up, become holy and acceptable through His power and His cleansing, which, by the way, Paul says, is your reasonable service. Remember, we owe a debt we never could pay. If someone tomorrow paid my mortgage, I would find some way to thank them. Why? Because I owe them a debt. Because they took care of mine. When Christ saved us, whether you were whether you understood it or not upon salvation, the biggest debt you'll ever have was wiped clean by His blood. Whether you understand that in your current walk with Christ, you will never be able to repay the debt you owed. You will never be able to, no matter how hard you try, no matter how long you serve, and you can never pay Him back. And He's okay with that. He just asks that you will give yourself over to His plan for your life so He can use you. Why? Verse 2. So that, and ye be ye not conformed to this world, put into a mold of this world, be ye not given over to your own power, succumb to the temptations of the world, back to those that hate you. This world will like nothing better than to fit you in its Christian mold. For those of you who have read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, fantastic book. Those you haven't, that's your library stop tonight. The Screwtape Letters. It's by C.S. Lewis. It's about an older demon teaching a younger demon the art of temptation. The mold. You know the world has a mold for Christians? They do. And we will fit rather nicely in their idea of what a Christian is. Loose. Groovy. Not judgy. We're basically woke. I hate that term. We're groovy. We're cultured. We're up to date. We're down with the times. Nothing's better to this world than a Christian that won't judge them, support them through their entire decisions, cheer them on, love on them like Christ would. It's not the mold we belong in. Be ye not conformed, molded to this world, but be ye transformed. Metamorphosis is that term. Transformed. Gone from a caterpillar to a butterfly. You cannot convince me. I do not understand how metamorphosis works. I'm sure there are those that have studied and love that, but something has to happen. And it's beyond my brain. How this slug, I know it's not a slug, goes in this little cocoon that he created and comes out a beautiful butterfly that people want to take and tack to a wall. But beautiful transformation. You can't convince me. I've seen it. It's a really cool thing. Time-lapse video. Man, it changed our lives. Before, back in Gerald's day, he had to watch it month on end. Now there's time-lapse videos. Metamorphosis, transformed. We're no longer the same creature. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we were nothing like we are today. We have been transformed into a living, breathing, spiritually minded, and having the ability to be spiritually fed, child of God. Why? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brings us to our passage tonight. Reasonable service as a child of God. Two things and we're done. We're all given gifts and have a place where we can use and grow them. This is your spiritual growing ground. This church, this body allows you to flex those spiritual muscles and work on communication, conversation, walk of life, testimony, boldness. It helps us to sharpen and help each other to grow. This is God's growing ground for His children. You hear you're fed. Hear you're given truth. Hear you're challenged. Hear those sitting next to you can sharpen you, can challenge you, can help grow you. Why? Because the moment you leave this assembly, it's war. It's spiritual warfare. Now, it's happening here, right now as we speak. Crazy things are happening in the spirit world right now. It'd be a really cool thing to see. But once we leave here, we're still the body. We still are. Don't think we're only the body here. We're a little more spread out. Doing individual work. If you're only a Christian, and if your strongest, I want to say this nicely, but if your strongest times are sitting in a pew, you may need to look into your spiritual health. If the strongest Christian you can be is sitting here, I'm worried for you out there. Because out there is where the real battle happens. Bible College is a perfect cocoon of spiritual mindset. It was so easy to read your Bible. It was so easy to pray a prayer. It was so easy to have all the answers. It was so easy to be a Christian. Not so in life. Southwest Baptist Church is a growing ground. You're being fed. You're being grown. You're being sharpened for the purpose of service outside this building. So that what he's saying, having these gifts, use them. Having these gifts, practice them of ministry, of exhortation, of teaching, of grace. Use them. Of prophecy. Use them. Hear. Practice. Grow. Why? Because you will go out and have to use them in the world. We'll have to use them in our everyday life. The only way to be a verse 3 through 8 Christian, the only way for you to live an effective Christian life is to be a verse 1 through 3 Christian, where you're, 1 through 2 Christian, where you're giving yourselves over wholeheartedly to the Lord. And you're living not in your emotional power, not in your stubborn will, but in the Spirit-filled power of Christ, where you are living your life walking with Him, serving Him, being with Him, and relying upon Him for every need you have. If your biggest supporter is yourself, you're doing it wrong. If your biggest support is your emotions, you're doing it wrong. Your biggest supporter should be the power of God, and you should be plugged into Him, walking around in His power and His ability, because only then can we truly live the life God has for us, by doing it in His power, by doing it in His way. I got hired to do a job back in 2011. I was young. How old? I was young. I don't know. Young. I was in my teens. 15. That's the word. Yeah, I was 15. That's how old I was. And I was hired to do a job for a goat rancher. Don't be a goat rancher, please. And his job was I was supposed to get a post hole driver at the T-posts. And then this West Texas rock. My job was to put down T-posts. I learned real fast why I was cheap labor. Then I was to stretch by hand this bale of wire and tie it to each post. Again, cheap labor, my fault. It was summer, it was hot, and I decided there was other things on that list I should do first. So I started from the bottom of the list, worked my way up, you know, innovative. He caught me about halfway through. He says, that list is sequential. You start from the top. When that job's done, you can move on. He said, I hired you to do this job my way. Step. I hired you to do what I told you to do, and I'm paying you to do this job the way I want you to do it. And that stuck with me my entire life from now on. And I am given this ministry God's way, not my way. If I'm doing this my own power, my own way, it is going to crash. But I am supposed to be living my life God's way, doing His work His way. What does that mean? That means I, just like you, have to choose every day to die unto my own selfish desires, to die unto my own aspirations, my own desires, my own wants, my own quote-unquote needs, and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Give me the power, and I'll do it. I have to die daily. And I have to give myself over. And you know what? It's my reasonable service. I owe the Lord everything. Everything I am, He has made. Everything He's given me has been from Him. The day I began to look at my account as God's money and not mine changed my life. The day I looked at the people He's given me to take care of as what they are, people He's given me. And the day I realized that I can't be a good husband in my own power. I can't be a good brother in my own power. I can't be a good servant in my own power. I can't be a good manager in my own power. And the times I realized that I don't have the ability to make this life work, I've come to the realization that God does. And if I want what's best for me, I'll do what He has me to do, and I'll do it in His power. Our first Christian will bottom out when trials hit, when the emotions all washed up and they no longer feel Spirit-filled. Just going through a trial right now. It's okay. The stubborn Christian, the moment life doesn't go his way, he'll just dig his heels in and make it happen. But then they have the Spirit-filled Christian. Come what may, trial, temptation, good times, bad times, the one who is living in the power of God will be the one who is left standing. No matter how stubborn I am, there are times that my will is broken. Those of you who mess with donkeys or horses, you got to break them. Donkeys can be some of the worst creatures. If you don't break them when they're young, you'll get kicked by them when they're old. My mother's family raises cattle, and I've seen my Uncle Charles throw a calf across a barn because the calf kicked him. He's a big guy. He's a really big guy. When it comes to livestock, you have to break their will so that they can become useful. As a child of God, we're sheep. Dumbest creatures in the world. We're sheep. We need a shepherd. We need His power. We will walk ourselves off a cliff, happy-go-lucky, if we have our own way. Our reasonable service is to give over all control to Christ and live as a Spirit-filled Christian. Only then can we, number two, use our gifts the way they're meant to be. As children of God, we are to fulfill our purpose by submitting to the plan of God. To better say it, you can only fulfill the plan of God in your life through the power of God that He supplies. Don't be a battery Christian. Don't be you have enough power to make it through, and when you're done, you got to go back and get some more. Why? It's like turning on the radio for the news and turning it off until the sports comes on. The radio's still there. The wave's still happening. You're just not tuned in. As children of God, we can live our life battery to battery. But that's by our own choice, our own merit, our own desires. And yeah, it'll work. For now. My vehicle runs because it's been taken care of. If I remove some parts, it'll run for a little bit. But then it won't. There comes a time where our abilities aren't enough. That's every day. There comes a time where our own power isn't enough. That's every day. And if we live our life power cell to power cell, controlling how much spirit we have and when we use it, and treating God as a small little jack-in-the-box where we need power, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm in desperate need. Thank you, Lord. Prayer to prayer. Battery to battery. That's not Spirit-filled. That's not Spirit-controlled. Reasonable service demands that you live your life fully in the power of God and in His will for your everyday actions. That is true Spirit-filled Christianity. And only in the power of the Holy Spirit can you truly be effective in the local body He's placed you in. I'm glad you're here. But wherever you are, be all there. And if you're just sitting here because it fulfills an emotional need, or if you're sitting here because that's what's right, man, you're missing it. You're missing it. Spirit-filled. Spirit-led. Heavenly Father, bless this evening. God, I pray these, bless these wonderful people, Lord.